Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the U Up podcast. I am Nikki Glaser, your host today and every day on this podcast. It's Friday. How you doing this week? Jackpot. That's how I'm doing. It is Thursday. I'm headed to the airport. I'm going to Miami for this weekend. If you live in Miami, if you know people in Miami and you think they would enjoy me, tell them I'm in town at the Improv. That would mean a lot to me. But only if you think they'd like me. If it's like your aunt and you're like, well, she said if I know someone in Miami, I gotta send them. And your aunt's like not down with what I'm in, like I'm about, don't send your aunt. Unless you think she'd like it, then send your aunt. I want to see all of your aunts there this weekend at the Miami Improv. I'm in the back of an Uber. I'm headed to the airport. It is, what time? It's 1:40 on Thursday. I'm joined by my best friend and U-Up podcast and radio regular, Anya Marina. Welcome to the show.
Looking good, Glaze. Looking great. Love your gams. You're tan. You're hot. I'm into you. I'm taking a step across this fence that I call heterosexuality.
Well, coming in with the heat on that one. Jesus Christ. Squirt Nation over here. Yeah, I am. I have the gams out because I'm just hot.
Also, we both got riled up today. It was just a fun day.
We're both sexually on fire. We are like, we're so horny right now and that we only have each other to project it onto. So it's quite a conundrum. And so we're both just like, hey, listen, I'm airing it out at this point.
We really are manspreading a little in the back of this oop.
You know what? When I realized when I played Kurt Cobain on the historical roast, I just manspreaded the entire time on stage because that's how he would sit. And I got to say, for the ladies, it's kind of, why don't we get to air it out? Guys always go, we need to air it out. It's like, so do we, probably even more so. You guys aren't dealing with a wetness down there that happens every time you talk to a guy you have a crush on at work.
Absolutely true. Confirm.
We should get to manspread more than you. Your balls are dry. There's not like, or I mean, maybe you get a little soggy down there. I don't mean to mean you don't, but we get like, that is how we get turned on, is like we turn into a place where, like, we turn into an active petri dish, and then we have to cross our legs because we have to be good girls. And guys get to fucking spread out because they have their balls. And I understand it's a little more uncomfortable and it can hurt to squeeze your balls. I don't know what that feeling is like, but I assume it's like childbirth, the same pain.
Doubtful. I think
I'm kidding. I'm being facetious or I'm being sarcastic because it was laced with me being a little angry. Do you know the difference between facetious and sarcastic?
Yes, I do. I feel it. Yes.
Most people don't know that, and I had to learn it myself. But if you're wondering, facetious is not when you're laced with a meanness. Oh. Sarcasm is when it has a meanness to it. So facetious is sarcasm without meanness.
Wow, that's great. So if I'm being facetious, I'm just sort of playing with you.
Exactly. But if it's sarcasm, like, oh, really? Like, you're trying to, like, prove a point? That's sarcasm.
It's more cynical.
If I go, oh, is it more cynical? Oh, okay. That's it. But if I was, like, if I don't know an example of being facetious right now because everything I want to say to you is horny and mean. I want to nag you.
I've been doing this thing lately where I can't stop making puns, and it was really bumming me out. And then all my friends were like, yeah, you got to stop that. And then I had one friend, Kate Walsh, who was so nice about it. And she was like, no, actually, this is a sign of, like, healthiness, that you're dropping your cynicism and you're just, like, making puns. And
yeah, making an easy, but sometimes puns aren't always easy. And sometimes they're so clever. They're just like a good meme where you go, oh, you got me. You know, like, I know it seems easy, but sometimes they're not. Like, you made a good pun today when we were just on the train, and you go, you apologize before I even was able to acknowledge that it was good. But it was good.
Thank God I forgot it already. But I went to this restaurant in Berlin called No Bananas. This isn't a pun.
This isn't a pun. This is just a terrible joke. This is just you turning into your dad slowly.
Right. And I hate it, but Kate was like, I think it's sweet. You're just like, you're losing your cynicism, which actually I'm down with.
It's a really good point.
But this place was called No Bananas, which is an allusion to a song lyric.
Which song lyric? A children's song? Is this like that Baby Shark? The prelogue? What is No Bananas?
I don't know. It's some old song, maybe from the 70s?
I'm sorry, but don't name your restaurant after your favorite little song lyric that makes no sense to anyone else.
A lot of people get it. A lot of people in their 40s get it.
Well, cool. Is that all you want dining at your stupid restaurant that's called No Bananas? And also, do you have something with bananas on the menu? Is that your little quirky thing that you do at No Bananas? Was it a good place?
It was delicious.
Okay, okay. Good. Try No Bananas in Berlin.
Yeah, and Kreuzberg. So we go, and the waitress comes up to the table, and I go, oh, I got a good one here. And I'm like jet lagged. And I go, first of all, before I order, do you guys have any bananas? Ooh. And I wanted to commit suicide immediately. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe that's what happened to Anthony Bourdain. He made a bad pun that was just like, nope, I need to end it. He did dine right before it in a place in, like, France. I know too much about it. And not enough. We don't know enough. I want to know if he was drunk. They do a toxicology report, but they only do drugs. Why shouldn't we get to know if he was totally wasted?
I mean, we all love him, and we know that he's pickled, so it didn't matter if he had had a drink that day. The guy loved to drink pretty much every day, so...
Yeah, you can only assume.
Yeah, he's basically drunk. He was all... Anyway, I watched a couple episodes of Parts Unknown on the way over there. Excellent show. Every episode is phenomenal, and it's a nice way to, like, relive how wonderful he was.
Yeah, they still play it. I was at JFK 2 days ago, the place I'm going to now, but I was waiting for my bag, and they were playing it on the, like... you know, the airport TV, and I'm like, I love that they're still playing this and we're just pretending like this guy didn't hang himself a year ago. Yeah. But it's great that, like, we should have to be faced with him and reminded of you know, that kind of thing, the suicide or whatever it is. Like, you have to kind of lean into it before, like, it has to be uncomfortable if we're gonna address it. Yeah. And it was uncomfortable to see his show while I was waiting for baggage. I'm like, this is lacking tact, like, to keep playing. I was just like, are they pretending? But then I was like, no, this is actually good.
Yeah.
But it was maybe, it made me sad in the moment. I'm like, I don't want to feel sad right now, but it was like, it was good.
It's like Soundgarden. And when Soundgarden comes on, you know, I get a little sad about Chris Cornell being gone, or Nirvana. Let's bring it back to the roast. Nikki Glaser as Kurt Cobain.
Wait a second. Soundgarden, I really thought you were talking about Savage Garden for a second. And I was thinking, with every breath, truly, madly deep. I'm like, what? Did that guy kill himself?
No, but should have.
No, that song is great.
I want to stand with you on a mountain. Oh, nice voice crack. Awesome.
Thank you.
I am excited for you to move. Quick subject change. We just came from Nikki's house where we were playing songs on the balcony.
Yeah, Anya's new single is coming out very soon. If you don't follow Anya Marina on Spotify or, like, be alerted of when she has new music that's dropping, like, you're missing out because she's just one of the best artists, one of my favorite artists of all time. I was a huge fan before I even knew her, and then we became best friends because we were just artistically attracted to one another, and then we got together and we became besties. But I endorse her not only as my friend, but, like, truly, like, great music. And if you like the same kind of music I like, you're gonna be into her. She's gonna be one of your faves. So Anya Marina, the songs I would direct you to, just to get a good intro course, if you know her already, you know, Whatever You Like. She did a cover. Mm-hmm. She did a cover of Whatever You Like, T.I.'s Whatever You Like. That is one of the best songs, like, covers I've ever heard, ever. And can we get it a little colder in here, please? Yes. Thank you so much. Oh, is that all I needed to do? So I'm getting hot just talking about Whatever You Like. It's the sexiest song ever. Anyway, I fell in love with her through that song. But other tracks of mine, of hers, that I love is Hot Button. What's In Your Bed? I'm in your bed and you're not... Notice Me? Ugh, Notice Me. This Is Serious? Yeah?
Serious Love.
Serious Love. Whew! That's a banger. And Shut Up is amazing. Oh my God, it's so good. And I recommend, if you have small children, play Anya Marina's Shut Up, because it'll seem so naughty to them and they'll laugh about that there's a song with Shut Up so many times in it, because Shut Up is fuck to kids. And so it's just like, we'll feel naughty, but it's not really naughty and it's just cute. So Anya Marina's Shut Up is a good song for your kids. And that's Anya Marina, and she's super funny and my best friend. And yeah, moving soon, and I live across the street from Anya right now, but I'm moving south and we're gonna be a couple stops away, but we'll be okay.
I'm gonna make this relationship work. You know, it takes effort and time, and I care about it, so I'm gonna make those extra two stops. But how are we gonna handle this, like, in the mornings?
I'll just meet you at radio.
Okay.
usually we walk to radio together. Like today, Anya's going to be on Thursday's clip that you're going to hear on this exact podcast right now. Yeah, we'll just meet. But that's something to be said about making effort to see people. Like, you're someone who I've... Oftentimes when I leave LA or New York and I go back and forth, I like... Whoever my best friends are in those places, it's hard for me to, like, maintain it if they're not there in my life every day. And we start living separate lives. It's like being in a relationship. And it's like when you do long distance, you kind of, like, fall apart. Like, yeah. It's hard to maintain. Everyone knows this feeling. It doesn't mean that they're not a good friend to you and that you don't love them so much. It's just hard. But for you, I feel like we've never fallen off even when we've lived in separate cities. Do you agree?
That's true. I think we've gotten better about it. There was a time when you first moved for Not Safe, I think, when you did Not Safe. Where I think we didn't talk for like a month, and I was like, this is so weird, because we lived together before, but then now with the advent of voice memos and stuff, we just call each other a lot more. We've always been that way. A lot of people don't use the phone to actually make phone calls. But
You're one of the only people I do that with.
Really?
And yeah, dude, I don't do that with many people, but but I was bringing this up only to say that all my girlfriends got together last night. It was like a Sex and the City episode. It was you, Elna Baker, and my friend Sarah Lena. I really don't know how to say her last name. It's NYC Sarah Lena on Instagram. She's a supermodel. Sarah Lena. C-E-R-E. Okay? You get it. She is as beautiful as her name is, and she's just like the best. Anyway, we're all going through hard relationship stuff right now, or just we all have like shit going on, right? And we got together, and I was made the point that I've made several times, but I think it bears repeating, is that if you, this guy or girl you're sweating right now in your life that you are desperate to like win over, if you're going through that kind of struggle right now, or if your friend is going through that kind of struggle right now, maybe this advice is good because it's helped me and helped my friends. Okay, if that person was the sex that you weren't attracted to. Let's say, like, I last night I was, like, with my girlfriends, and I go, if that guy was a girl and you brought him around, we would all be like, we don't want to hang out with this girl, and we wouldn't because she's lame. But so put your guy that you're sweating to that test. If he was a girl that one of your girlfriends is like, I want you to meet my friend, she's going to join our group, would you want her? And maybe you would. But I think we put up with far more bullshit by people that we're dickmatized by or pussmatized. We put up with bad personalities that we wouldn't tolerate in our friendships that aren't sexual. So, Anya, what do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. When I think about some of the people I've dated, if they were just a friend, I'd probably get rid of them. I'd kick them to the curb because they're not bringing a whole lot to the table. I don't know. That's hard to say and really mean. I liked the last couple people I've dated. You did not.
There's always good qualities and there's bad qualities. Just like all the... Can we even talk about... Oh, I guess we're going under. You're coming to JFK with me.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Anya was just supposed to get out before we got to New Jersey, but it
we
just... Oh, wait a second. We can still get you out here. Can we drop her before we go over? Is there anywhere to... No? Okay, you're locked in. Well, shit, babe.
I don't want an Uber to
be. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Here.
Oh, I didn't know we were entering the tunnel.
Okay.
I thought we may be on other streets.
Can you take me home?
No. Oh, I'm getting you a regular Uber home.
Okay.
Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
This one is, like, super... For some reason, it's so expensive this week. But you will be sent home in an Uber and taken care of.
That's all I ever wanted to hear by anyone.
Again, we're very horned up in the back. Of the Uber.
I ordered a podcast microphone because I'm starting a podcast just based on peer pressure alone from Nikki. I still don't have a name. She told me to talk about my feelings, but that got ordered on Amazon along with a vibrator that you told me to order, Nick.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I am so excited to spend some time with my womanizer later on. And by the way, I didn't even have the womanizer. I have the Satisfier. I got sent the Satisfier. Shout out to them. It's not an ad, but they sent me this tool. And my womanizer was like, it's puttering out. It's like a little tugboat. It's like, it's the thing that sucks your clitoris, for those of you who are wondering. And it was like giving me a little, it's like just, I was tried this new one. Because the other one also, like, I don't clean it enough. And it's just like gathering dust and things.
Can you use like denture cleaner on the... Just use a denture.
It has a little rubber cap that you remove and you're supposed to clean. But I'm just like, I don't care. honestly, it's like what I do with dishes. I'm disgusting. So if I'm eating like food on a dish and it dries, I don't care. I'll just like use it and put the same food on top of that later on, like the next day. I don't care. That is so foul. Who will ever love me? Well, deal with it. I won't do it in front of you, but I'll do it on my own when you're out of town. Oh, I'll tuck into some not doing dishes. And I do the same thing with my, anyway, looking forward to spending some time with that later on. Like, do people do that and like get excited about masturbating?
Do people not wash their dildos?
No, I'm talking about like, do people like, I'm wondering if the listener, if this is relatable to be like, oh, I can't wait to masturbate later.
Hopefully. I mean, you got me into it.
Do you feel that way sometimes where, like, your day is busy and you're like, oh, but later on I'm going to, like, get to do it?
I'm thinking about it now because I think the package arrived today and I have a date, so I'd like to do that before.
Oh, yeah, you have a date that you're not going to get any puss action on because you're putting down the... You can't.
Yeah, I'm putting myself under, like, house arrest or whatever. I'm putting a chastity belt.
I told you to Sharpie your vagina so there'd be something weird on it that you wouldn't let him see. So I told you to like draw something like on your, like a, yeah, draw a swastika on your vagina. And what if he loved it? Oh no.
Yeah, so I'm a Jew too, so that doesn't work.
Yeah, none of this works. But yeah, I told you, like the way that sometimes, you know, when you don't want to eat a cake or whatever, and so you take a bite and then you put it in the trash and then you dump like, you spray it with, like, Lysol. Does anyone else do that? Just me? No, I know I'm not alone. I remember, like, the way you just, like, trash some food and you want to destroy it so you don't eat it out of the trash. Dish soap. Put some dish soap on your puss.
Okay. I'll try that at home.
Make it so it's inedible.
Okay, perfect. I will. I am determined to not do this. We talked about this at length on the show. I'm not having sex on my date.
Ian Fidance tried to convince you to do it. So Ian's on the show, on Thursday show, too, which we just recorded, and, he tried to get Anya to
let go of my chastity belt and just loosen up a little. People get in my head that way. They'll just sort of like shame me for being too prudish. And I'm like, it's like when I quit drinking and I remember a really good friend was like, listen, we really love you and care about you and you're already too uptight as it is. So we think this whole not drinking thing is actually you being more controlling. And it worked. Oh, I mean, yeah. I didn't take a drink, but I was like...
But that planted the seed for you to take another drink someday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me doubt myself.
Because didn't you quit drinking and then go back on it?
I never did, but that made me doubt my decision for months. And then I got my head about me right and was like, why am I taking advice from this friend? This was like a drug addict friend, too.
Yeah, you seek out what you want to hear. Yeah. And like, you'll tell enough people a story so that you are fed the answer you want as opposed to the answer you need, which you do know already. It's like, I do the same thing of like, I'm like, I just want my opinion validated. Like I was deciding on a font for my special and I like sent it to so many people of like this one or this one. You were one of the people because I respect your eye for design. And ultimately I was just whittling it down to what I wanted and trying to get someone to be like, it's not bad. And then I did it, you know? Yeah, I picked the one I wanted ultimately, which is what everyone does what they want to do. Yes. And that's what my therapist used to say. You're going to do what you're going to do.
That's what Sam Harris says too, right? Like his whole no free will thing. Like,
no, that's not really it. That's not the same idea, but I think that this idea of like even on Fleabag, you know, when she goes to talk to the therapist is like, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. And she's like, no, I'm not. She's like, yes, you are. And she goes, no, I'm not. And she goes, you know. Oh, yeah. And they're back and forth, and then it cuts to her.
Yeah, having sex with him. Yeah. Or no. That's
right. No.
We won't ruin it for you.
Don't. What? Don't. How dare you?
I didn't. No.
Did you see on my Instagram I put out, on my story, I put the flash flood warning. And I said, sorry, New York. Just started rewatching Fleabag season 2.
No, that's great. I love that. It was so hot. Their chemistry is insane. Season 2. Nominated for several Emmys now.
Oh, yeah, it should be. It's the greatest show. If you're not watching Fleabag, what are you doing with your life? I cannot believe you're going to JFK and you're going to get stuck in so much traffic on the way back. You'll still be able to do your call, though.
I will. I have to be home soon. I mean, this is insane. When will I be home?
You'll be fine. Listen, it's all going to work out. We don't have a choice, so you just have to...
2 hours.
We didn't foresee this, and we just have to accept it.
When will we be there?
We're going to be there in...
Not that long. Oh, wait, what?
50 minutes.
No, I'm getting out soon.
Well, we got to drop you. Well, I can't drop you on the highway.
Oh, I get it. Dude, what am I doing?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was like,
I can't be late. I have to be home in 2 hours.
I know. Well, we'll pull over when we can. In 1.3 miles, we're going onto a belt parkway, but we'll take an exit. Yes, we'll pull off on Summit exit. Although I'm running late, but we'll have to make it quick, and then we'll drop you, and then we'll get you a car. Good plan.
Hey, great.
Hey, guys. So we got Anya dropped off on the guy really did pull over on the highway, which is one of my biggest fears in life. And but then I go, no, keep going. What are you doing? We thought he understood. I was like, she has to be dropped off on a side street so she can call an Uber, not the highway. What are you thinking? It's very confusing. Anyway, we got Anya dropped off. I made it to my flight. Everything was great. I've been going nonstop since then. This is the last thing I'm doing before I take what I hope to be a very severe nap. Just, I want it to be just a, I really want to tuck into a nap after this. I just did 4 hours, 3.5 hours of radio. Got picked up at 6:15, went to bed. I couldn't sleep until like 2:15 last night. I got into Miami late and then I had to edit my special one last time. It's exhausting, and it's, I really want it to be over soon. I've given so many edits. I don't think people generally get to go this many passes on a special, so shout out to Netflix for being patient with me. But stayed up late doing that, and then woke up early for radio and just went on 4 different radio shows. And like, I do a radio show every day. This was a lot more work than that. It was a lot of talking. And then I'm doing this now, which isn't bad because it's, I'm talking to my fans and I'm not talking on sports shows. I mean, they were 4 very distinct shows, but now they all are kind of blending together for me. It was a lot. And I'm laying in bed. I'm being a very unprofessional broadcaster right now. And I'm literally laying down in bed. And I know you can hear it in my voice because whenever I try to get away with having phone calls horizontally, they always go, are you sick? Are you late? Like, I can't hear you right. And so I know that this is unprofessional. So that's just the mood of the podcast. Listen, I am myself on this thing, if nothing else. If not entertaining, you could at least say she was herself. So, yeah, that is, I'm in Miami tonight. I did radio alone today, too, which is usually a little bit harder because I have Andrew come with me usually. And he burnt, like, I guess he kind of takes on some of the burden of just like hanging out and being social. At, like in between segments, you have to like kind of be on, too, because you want to be nice and the hosts are excited to have you. So it's just a little bit exhausting, the whole shebang. But my plan today, so I did 3 hours of radio. I'm doing this. I'm going to nap. I'm going to work out. I didn't get to do that yesterday, and I really feel the need to sweat a lot every day. I like to sweat. I have to meditate still. I had a dream about Sam Harris, who is my guided meditation app dude. And so I feel like I kind of meditated just because I ran into him in my dream. It was not a sex dream, although not ruling one out. I can't help what happens in my dreams with a married man. But it wasn't, unfortunately. Has anyone's dreams ever been interesting to anyone? I'm not even going to bore you, but I'll just say that there's some great line in There's Always Sunny. I think it's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But where Caitlin Olsen's character Dee is trying to show Dennis Reynolds some like pictures, and he's like, Dee, what did he say? As a comedian, I butcher jokes when I retell them. He's like, I never want to. Pictures are like, what does he compare it to? Oh, pictures are like dreams. I'm only interested if I'm in it or if there's sex involved. God, that was miserable, and I wish I could take it back, but I can't, and there was something to be gleaned from that. It wasn't humor, but it was me learning that I shouldn't do podcasts horizontally. and maybe that you shouldn't be listening to them. Guys, let's get into the first show. Monday show, which seems like a legit lifetime ago. Monday show, I was in LA. Alan Bernstein from Dancing with the Stars. He was one of the dancers on the show. Hot young dancer. I think he's like 24 or something. He's so hot. He inspired a joke because, like, I would get done with practices with Gleb and then, like, or I would just be, like, hanging out with other dancers and I'd be all horned up because, you know, Gleb and I are dancing and I was just, like, having the time of my life during that show. And then Alan would, like, flirt with me a little bit and it would make me feel amazing because let me just tell you, Gleb and I weren't, he wasn't thrilled to be flirting with me. But Alan loved it and it was fun. And his partner was Alexis Wren. And one day we were watching each other's dances, which was the most humiliating part of the show, was that you had to like screen each other's dances for each other, like at practice. I forgot what they called them. They called them like show-ems or something. But you would have to dance in front of the other stars and their dance partner. And it would be very encouraging and everyone would clap and no one would ever be critical. It was just a way to practice in front of an audience. And so it was really beneficial. And I ended up having a lot of fun with it because it was so supportive. But initially, it's just like the biggest nightmare you can imagine is dancing this dance that you're already worried about in front of other really good. Like I had to dance in front of Tinashe and Milo Mannheim and Ivana Lynch and Sasha Farber and Mary Lou Retton. And who else did I do a show in front of? Bobby Bones. He sucked, so that was easy to do. He was just as bad as I was, so it was comforting to dance in front of him. Alexis Wren, I had to dance in front of Alexis fucking Wren with my little salsa that was just such a struggle the entire time. It was humiliating, but super supportive. Anyway, during one of those practice show-ems, I don't think that's what they're called. You show me yours, show and tells maybe is what they're called. It doesn't matter. You guys weren't on the show. You're not going to follow up with me on this. And you'll never be on that show. Actually, you all might be. The show will last forever and you'll all get a chance to do it. But during one of those, Alan was like, I was rubbing my leg because my leg was like fucked up. I pulled it doing some move with Gleb where I would like put my leg between his legs. So hot. Anyway, I pulled a muscle and I was rubbing it and Alan like started rubbing it for me and like was just like, hey, is that bothering you? Gleb, why aren't you massaging Nikki? And I'm like, yeah, Gleb, what's going on? He's like on his phone. And I was like, I didn't know that was part of the, you know, process. I'm not getting that benefit. Alexis is getting a rub down from Alan every day. And so then Alan rubbed my leg and I was like, this is amazing. So I wrote a joke about it where I was like, yeah, I told that story. And then I said, so I realize if you get injured on the show, like the other dancers will like massage you because that's what dancers do. So I sprained my clit pretty soon after that. And I was limping in with that injury every day. I said I got dancer's taint, which is an injury I made up, but doesn't mean that it wasn't real to me. And that was my joke that I did about it. That is, I hope you're laughing because that's one of my good jokes. I just gave you a gem that I cut from my special. Anyway, it was all based on Alan, and Alan is who you're about to hear on the show. And Joe, grocery store Joe, is also on there. Joe Amabile, from The Bachelor. If you're a Bachelor fan, this guy was on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. He got eliminated the first night, which is I relate to as being voted off Dancing with the Stars first. So he knew the sting of instant rejection. And then they liked him so much, they brought him back for Bachelor in Paradise, which nobody makes an imprint that first night the way Joe, grocery store Joe, did. So they brought him back for Bachelor in Paradise. He had a great showing on there. And then they asked him to do Dancing with the Stars. And he and me and Bobby Bones and Nancy McKeon and Daniel Umstead were probably the worst dancers of the show. And I'm just going to flat out say it. Daniel Umstead would have been a far more amazing dancer because she's an athlete, but she's blind. So she was the same as us. I mean, it put her at an even playing field with me because she had a legit handicap. But we were all the good dancers on the show. Grocery Store Joe stunk. He's a bad dancer. And he would admit it. And I was bad too, and I can admit it. But anyway, I loved him because he knew he was bad. He was embarrassed by it. He was very cute on the show. He's just adorable. You understand why people want to watch him on reality TV. He's just a real guy, and he was great on the show. And this is Monday's show with Joe, Grocery Store Joe Amabile, and Alan Bernstein. And they have a new clothing company called Frown Clothing. You can follow them at Frown Clothing on Instagram. Here it is.
Performing live dancing mm-hmm. in front of millions of people for the first time when they've
it's
never
crazy.
Danced before.
I'm nervous for y'all. When you hear those ticks,
yeah, oh.
that
That is counts
like
you down to the music.
And even in dress rehearsal, I'm sure you were like, oh, this is nerve-wracking.
I didn't have one because I was injured, so I had to watch Morgan do my dance. Do you know that was the most humiliating moment of my life? God. Was being backstage during the camera blocking, because a lot of the Dancing with the Stars is like when you learn the dance in the studio and you practice it, but so much of it is going to camera blocking because you need to know what camera to look into mm-hmm. because a dance will look really good based on how you're playing to the camera and where the cameras are. It can change a dance mm-hmm. based on that. And Gleb was like, you need to be there for the camera block and just look at where, because mm-hmm. a girl was standing in for me, Morgan. What's her last name?
Larson.
Morgan Larson. She's so nice, but I watched her learn my dance that took me a month to learn. And like a month, every
in
day.
In like 10 minutes she learned yeah. it.
Not even, Joe. It was seven. Like 90 seconds. I just watched it in front of me and it was like watching my husband fuck a hotter girl. I felt like I was being cuckolded. I was just in the corner injured, like, oh. And she was getting it so right. And I was just like, oh my God, that was the worst moment. But it was crazy. I mean, Joe, you felt like you were going to have a panic attack?
Every time.
Every time?
Except for maybe the last show, because that's when I just stopped caring.
Oh,
but I was like, because I'm like, first of all, what the fuck am I doing on Dancing with the Stars? How did this even happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, now I got this white suit on. And, you know, I feel like Colonel Sanders. I don't know what's happening to my life. And I'm just like, and I would be too embarrassed to dance at a club.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I was never that guy. Me I was too. Never like, well, I would get like, oh, no. And now I have to do this on a live stage, which I've never been on a live stage, like doing anything like that. In front of millions of people.
What made you do it? Why did you agree to do this?
Chris Harrison asked me on air. And at that point, my life was just,
he got asked live.
I got asked live.
Chris Harrison hosted The Bachelor.
Yeah, so
Asked you on air on like an After the Rose thing?
Yes.
What?
And I didn't even know because, you know, I was at a grocery store. A lady came up to me. And she's like, you want to be on The Bachelor? I'm like,
that's
sure,
how you ended up on The Bachelor?
That's why he's grocery
lady
store
walked
joke.
Out to me. No, it's not. But she walked up to me. She's like, how you doing? I'm like, what's up? She pulls out a card. She's like, would you want to be on The Bachelor? So I thought maybe I would be the next Bachelor. So I'm like, all right, yeah. And then it just so happened I was on, I got casted to be on The Bachelorette. And then I got kicked off night one. Yeah.
So you guys have something in common.
That is a good point. Thank you, Alan.
And that's also why I was so nervous. Because I'm like, another show. I'm going to get booted night one.
Yeah, it was my third reality show to be kicked off of. I did Last Comic Standing twice. And I made it much further on those shows. But I had been eliminated from a reality show before. And it's truly devastating in a way that you don't see coming.
I mean, it is literally one of the most, it's a reality show, but it is so stressful.
It's
when
so
you're standing
stressful.
There. And the red lights turn on and it goes, dun, dun. It's like Jaws.
It's
literally Jaws. The music is there. There's so much pressure and you're like, please, please don't let me get voted off. And then like in hindsight, you're like, I'm asking not to get voted off of a TV show.
And which means everything.
It means everything.
I mean, then I was devastated.
It literally becomes your life. It is my life. There
and
I'm
is.
Like.
I have a joke in my act where I say the day September 26th, 2018 was the worst day of my last year, and my dad died last year. And he didn't, but it won't hurt as bad as when he does. It was the worst day of my life.
But it's because everyone there becomes a family.
Yeah. And I loved it so much. I just didn't want to go.
Everyone's going through the exact same thing. And so it's like, it's nice to be in a room where 13 people are going through the exact same thing and everyone's stressed. And then someone goes home and you're like, oh, this is real.
I just kept thinking like, because they literally, I just compared it to, I felt like I was claw machined out of the best time of my life. A claw came down and then spit me out in New York. And I woke up the next day in New York after doing Good Morning America. And then you're done. And this thing that was everything to you, every waking second you think about dancing. And then No one's calling. No one's texting. Like,
I still text. I came to your shows.
You did. I've seen you a lot.
I'm never coming to your show again. Why? You pulled me on stage and you made fun of me.
No, you were great. You were so great at that show.
You and Jeff Ross.
Yeah, that was really fun. I would love for that to happen again.
I would not.
That was Monday's show. I'm still in Miami in my hotel room. And yeah, I just don't know what the rest of the day looks like for me. I have a lot more energy this morning because I took a hit of my driver's vape pen, and I don't vape weed anymore. And it, like, so the only time I have weed is like at the end of the night, or like if I'm at my apartment, I can like go out on the balcony and smoke it. But if I'm like at a hotel, which I've been at the past couple weeks, like I don't smoke that much weed anymore. And I got a little high off of vape pen this morning, and it's given me so much energy. I don't recommend it. I don't endorse weed as a way to stimulate yourself and to stay awake, but it does it for me. So I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep. But I did a ton of radio this morning. I'm doing this podcast now. God, thinking about each show this week, I was looking at the podcast clips that Noah, my producer Noah, follow her at Noah Injection, at Noah Injection, N-O-A Injection, on Instagram. She picked all these clips, and like they seem like so long ago because I was in LA. This next clip was from Tuesday's episode. Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher were in studio, and we were talking about squirting, it looks like. I also had a really bad date the night before, a Raya date the night before this show. So if you want to go back and listen on the SiriusXM app to the full episode, I talk about my Raya date. I talk about my Raya date on, it was Monday night, so I talk about it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday's show. And it's, I gotta say, it's an interesting conversation each time, and I learn new things. But this is the first show that I talked about it on, and I don't think I had mentioned it at this point, but we got into the subject of squirting for sure. And because listen, your girl's a squirter. You're a squirter because you listen to the show. That's what I call you guys. I don't know if you know that yet. That's what you are, Squirt Nation. I don't know where it came from. It's from when the show first started. Me and Tom Takar were just like thinking of what we should call our listenership, because like you got to come up with a name right away so people identify. And I think he pitched squirters, and it was really funny because it's like, why would they be squirters? But like, why not? So yeah, you're squirters, I'm a squirter. And here's Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, and I. They have a new podcast out, by the way, called Endless Honeymoon, and it's where they give advice, and they did a segment on my show. I'm serious, go back and listen to this full show. They give an advice segment on my show, and they give such good advice. They are so smart and funny, so I recommend their podcast, Endless Honeymoon. Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, in studio on Tuesday's show in LA.
So did someone want you to piss on them, Moshe?
Well, I had a person where we were kind of into freaky stuff, and we like decided to try that, and it was pretty hardcore. I mean, it wasn't just like a spray too. It was more of a gulp and
wait, were there mouths involved?
Yeah,
peed in her mouth.
Yeah,
wow, we're learning so much about each other, and you guys are what does this do for you as his wife? You don't care about his past?
She's horny as hell right now.
My little brother peed in my mouth when I was little.
Oof.
I was like, I'm going to tell Ma. And then I just felt like this whiz of piss in my mouth.
No.
So.
That is so weird, actually, because the person I'm talking about is your little brother.
I'm just saying, I find it all kind of gross.
Yeah, no, it was gross. It was interesting because I've done a lot of strange sexual things. And that was one where both the person I was with and me, we both looked at each other at the end and were like, I don't think. Yeah, that was a little too much.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
try that.
We don't need to do that.
I found it strangely intimate.
Oh, did you? With your brother?
No.
The shower incident.
The shower incident.
You found it romantic?
No, not romantic, just intimate. Like all of a sudden you're so close to someone, you're like, I've pissed on you.
Yeah, but
that's like so female though. Like, oh, it brought us closer to
I know. Just
I really. Girls.
We'll take anything we can get.
I really like him. I think he's special. I think he likes me too. I can still taste
Maybe
him.
Maybe he's the one.
Oh my God. I squirted for the first time like a lot last weekend.
Oh
like,
yeah,
a
yeah.
A lot.
No, I saw the
Wait,
the,
you said squirted?
Feed.
Yeah. And I thought it was pee. I was like, it was so much that I was like, this has got to be pee. And so I instantly like scooped it up to be like to smell it, to be like, is it? And it was not. And it didn't. And my pee is always yellow because I take so many vitamins, and it was not yelling.
I would love to have been in that man's brain. He's just like, oh my God, she. Oh, I see.
I was going to say, when in the duration does it happen during sex? You're saying that just happens.
I didn't plan for it. I didn't. Usually I've like tried to, like ex-boyfriends and I have been like, let's try to do this. And it just like can't get there.
Let's try to make you squirt.
Yeah, it's
cool. I had this image in my mind though of you like with a partner and then you squirt and he's like, oh my God, that's so hot. And you're like, hold on. Is it pee?
I needed to know.
You know, there's a big.
It felt like it.
There's a big scientific debate about whether or not it is pee. And a lot of, I think that it's actually kind of. Unclear. The science is unclear that it might be pee.
It definitely is what pee becomes. Like it's in the process of pee, but it was not yellow and it did not.
You
smell
mean
like
it's
urine.
Under the umbrella of pee?
Yeah, it's like what pee will like pee becomes. It is before pee. It
pee
didn't get
be.
Processed.
Wait, hold
it was
on.
What pee will
this
be.
Is like a Christmas story. It's beautiful.
is it connected? Is it connected to orgasm?
Yeah,
dude. And I didn't...
Oh, so you're saying you were masturbating and that happened?
Yes.
Okay.
So what happened was, and I, like I said, I've made an effort to squirt before because I'm like, I just want to be able to say I've done it. And I thought I've done it before, but I really think I may have just like peed in those moments. Or sometimes you just like.
Oh, so you really made an effort. You were just like. Oh, it worked.
Well, because all of the instructions to squirt say you're going to feel like you have to pee and then just let it go. And I'm like.
Wait,
you mean
can,
like
train?
Pee.
It's like what I do on the toilet. I feel like I have to pee and then I let it go.
You can train yourself to do this?
Yes,
ask
dude.
Nikki.
So are you sure you just aren't, you're just kind of
everyone
like,
can do it, Natasha.
No way.
Yes, we can all, you can do anything.
You just want to feel like a man and spray your load all over
I mean,
someone.
Kind of. It is super like, I felt more empowered than I've ever felt. Sexually.
That's
after
interesting.
It.
Really?
I mean, Noah, my producer, got a text right away. I had to tell people.
You
I took a picture
your producer?
Of the.
You're so Hollywood. I can't believe it. Oh my God, I squirted. Can we use this?
I took a picture of the bed just to show the amount because it was an obscene. I was so proud of myself. And I was in Las Vegas, so I was like really dehydrated. I was like, I don't even know where this came
from.
This
could
from.
Be dangerous, actually.
Yeah, I know.
You have to go to the ICU.
So what are the tenets? Like, how do we do this? Okay. What are the most important?
So this is what happened. And
it was
I've
like
talked
the
about
Bellagio
it on the show
fountain.
Already. Oh my God. Yeah, there's spectators and you had to wait around. But that was seriously what happened was I had a sesh and it was fine. And I had a couple orgasms that were good. But I was just like, I had time to kill. And I was like, I'll just go for one more. And there was like this new series on kink.com, which I pay for that like hey, I was really into.
Whoa, you pay for porn?
Yeah.
That's the most shocking thing I've heard this morning.
Really?
Yeah, that's way freakier than I pissed in someone's mouth.
Also, she said series.
I know.
There's a series.
What is it?
It's called School of Submission.
That was Natasha and Moshe on Tuesday's show. What day is it today? It's Friday today. So the podcast started on Thursday and it's ending on Friday. I like it. I like how immediate it is. I wonder if you guys, when you guys all listen, I would try to listen like right away if I were you. It would just make me feel closer to it, but do your own thing. I wonder how people consume the podcast. Are you on a treadmill? I'm going to try to guess where you are. Are you on your way to work? And yeah, are you driving on your way to work? And oh my God, watch out for that fucking squirrel, bitch. Just kidding. Don't mean to scare you. No one got scared by that. Someone's like, I'm just sitting at my desk. I hated that so much. Well, if you're sitting at your desk, why don't you stare at that picture of your loved one? Oh, you don't have a picture of your loved one at your desk? Do you not love anyone? It's always weird to me when people have pictures of, like, how often do they just stare at it? If you have a picture of your wife on your desk, do you just like, it's almost just like to tell other people what you have, which is helpful to know. My dad used to have pictures of us. It was always cool to go to my dad's office and be like, oh, he has pictures of us. I understand your kids and I guess your wife. Listen, it's all lovely. One of the cutest things ever is that my nephew Arlo, my sister said that he goes over, they have like all the picture frames of like in the family in them. And he'll just, like, go up to a picture frame and he'll just hold it and, like, look at it and point to it and just, like, I don't know, just admire photos of his family. It's the cutest thing I could ever imagine. It reminds me of the segment that they used to do on Conan back when he had his late night show back in the, I would say this early 2000s. They did this one segment, him and Andy would pretend that they have an amazing satellite on the top of an NBC, their NBC building, that they get channels that aren't even accessible to other people. And they're going to go check out some of these weird channels that they have. And so they have all these channels, and they're all like hilarious channels. Like one is like this guy, Clive Clemens. It's a long story, but it's like a guy that it's called Clive Clemens Inappropriate Channel. I don't know who Clive Clemens is, but he's like this heavy metal dude. And it's like he plays a guitar riff as the intro to the channel. It's like, and then he like does the rock and roll sign, and then it freezes on him and it goes inappropriate, and then it's just a guy, it's like a scene with a guy in a break room at work with a girl, and she's like, looks like it's gonna be a fun weekend, and he goes, thank God for Saddam Hussein, and then there's like a stamp that goes on it that says inappropriate, and it goes inappropriate. And then there's another kid that's like, Dad, do you want to play ball with me? And he has like a mitt and a ball. And the dad goes, hey, son, check out this. And he shows his son a centerfold of like a hot dude. And then there's a stamp that goes, inappropriate. I think there's one more. If I could get them all, that would be amazing. But there was one that was called the Alienated Pigeon Channel. And that's what just... I'm already laughing. It would just show, there's a whole channel dedicated to pigeons being left out of activities. So there would be a shot of like a bunch of pigeons pecking out some seed, like a ton of pigeons. And then it would zoom out and there would just be one pigeon watching from afar, feeling left out. And there was one where it was like all these pigeons, and then it zoomed out and there was a pigeon that was looking through a like black car window. And then the window goes up and you see the pigeon like try to look up, like as the window raises, kind of like a Grey Poupon ad. It's hilarious. But I only say all of this to say that my cousin or my nephew looking at photo albums reminds me of one of the channels, which was Babies Reminiscing Channel. And it would just be babies, like legit babies, flipping through photo albums and then like watching old family footage by a fireplace. It was so funny. So my nephew does reminisce. And it's adorable. This all takes us into Wednesday's show, which was Andrew Collin in studio. Check out his new podcast. I'm giving you a lot of podcasts to subscribe to today, which I just subscribed to a new podcast, by the way. Kim Goldman, who was murdered by her brother was murdered, Ron Goldman, by a person that mighted at one point. We thought it was O.J. Simpson, but then he was tried and... I think that they were able to pin it on him after the fact, right? Can you say that he murdered them? I don't know, but I just don't want to be sued. But, you know, the guy, like, her brother was Ron Goldman. Anyway, she was on Stern this morning. I just heard it on the radio, on the way to radio. We were listening to Stern, me and the driver. And, God, this fascinating interview on Stern with Kim Goldman. Look it up. She has a new podcast that I instantly subscribe to because I love true crime. And I also am a huge fan of hers. I met her, and I was already a fan of hers just for her advocacy on her brother's behalf. But I got to do an event where for her foundation. I think it's the Ron Goldman Foundation. And I got to perform stand-up at it, and it was super cool. But anyway, I heard her interview on Stern today, and it just far exceeded my expectations. She was incredible. Stern was incredible. It's worth a listen. Anyway, subscribe to that podcast. And subscribe to Puddles for some comedy relief. The new podcast by Andrew Collin, who is in studio with Ari Findling on Wednesday, and Marina Franklin, who has a new special out called Single Black Female that you can find at marinafranklin.com. Here's Wednesday's show.
I hate that I can't be by myself. I was like, it sucks that if I'm idle and I don't have any work to do, or I don't have a friend to talk to, or I'm not Instagram living, or I'm doing the radio show there, I just feel sad. And she was like, don't beat yourself up about that, because I think so many times we're like, why can't I be alone? I just want to be able to be alone. We're not supposed to be. We are really social creatures. We're like most closely related to bonobo apes. And they're like constantly with their. There's no bonobos that go off alone.
Go to bonobos
and
you
have a nap
people.
By themselves.
You go meet people at bonobos.
Why does everything have to be a joke?
It doesn't.
So I think.
I think that's the negative effect of comedy, of stand up comedy, and kind of what we do.
And
is
social
that
media.
You're so used to. Your brain is so used to instant affirmation that you can say something and immediately get a reaction that when you're by yourself, you're like, well, I don't know. Where am I going to get this affirmation from? It's gone.
We're just not.
What
supposed
is it about
be...
when you're by yourself, though? Are you like looking within too much? Are you in your
I'm
own head
bored,
too much?
And I'm bored. And then when I'm bored, my thoughts go dark. And so it's just, but I'm not supposed to be alone. I'm like I'm a little monkey in the tree that wants to like pick ticks off of my other friend's head. Like I
wish I could
warts.
Say that sentence. I've been wanting to get into the bonobo conversation the whole time, but I can't.
Tough intro. It's like a weird game of double dutch.
Talk about that guilt, huh? Yeah. Well, I like
Marina.
The...
that's so funny.
But you're Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
oh god,
I love
it.
Being
Marina
alone.
Franklin.
I'm gonna be honest. I love being alone. I love silence.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you ever get sad?
I don't. I. Well,
you seem like a sad person sometimes.
Yeah, you seem
you
so
walk
sad.
Into the cellar. You're very like.
I'm very serious at times.
You are very serious.
But I'm not sad. I just have very. I have social anxiety now, so I like
now.
Being alone. Yeah, it's new.
What do you mean? When? How does this manifest itself?
I have to go back to therapy to find out. But
it's like, what do you mean? Like, how
I
does
don't
it
know what to
come
say.
On.
I have a difficult time listening, and
I get that.
Sometimes I found that a lot of times I have said the wrong things to people, so I try to be careful. And then you know, certain comics, I just don't want to hear them. So it gets difficult. And so when I'm, and you're always around people at the cellar, it's very busy and there's a lot of stuff. There's music playing. I'm always traveling. There's always people around. So when I'm by myself, I really do enjoy it. I love the peace and quiet. I've started turning off, maybe I'm because I'm 69.
Yeah.
I've turned off the TV. I listen to soft rock.
Wow.
I've actually
like
said Alexa.
Rock?
Alexa, give me soft rock playlist, please.
Oh, my God.
I'm listening. I've played St. Elmo's Fire, the so soundtrack good. To it, so many times. Terms of Endearment, I love.
There's that 11% Ashkenazi coming
there
through,
we go.
For sure. That's but it's like, my therapist recommended that, too, where it's you're so used to like listening to podcasts, watching TV, where you're just taking in so much sensory overload, where your mind, you're not allowing your mind to create things in your brain, where if you just shut it off for a little bit, you'll start to become more comfortable in your own thoughts.
Meditation.
Because, right, you're like you're like freaking out because you're not used to creating your own thoughts because you're around everybody all the time. I'm the same way. I can't be by myself.
But the thing is, I don't struggle with meditating, and people that are like me, if you're like me, that you're like, I can't be alone, and when I'm bored, I just want to watch something or do something. I'm like that too, but I'll tell you, meditation, I never struggle with it. If I
sit
down,
an all or nothing thing. It's like all or nothing.
Yeah, but meditation, if I'm meditating, I can be by myself for hours. Like if it was just, that was my goal, is just to sit in silence and meditate, like I can do it. But if I'm not meditating, I'm just sitting there and like want to read a book, like that's going to be a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
Because meditation, you're still doing something.
No, you're not.
You're actively
doing nothing.
You're
literally
doing
nothing.
But you're active. Yeah, but that is something.
It's scheduled.
It is scheduled.
It's like it's a thing, though.
It is a thing, but you're just sitting there thinking. That's all you're doing. You're just sitting there with your eyes closed or open. I can do it with my eyes open. Just thinking.
I do it in a bath.
God, can you imagine walking into a room and Nikki's just meditating with her eyes open?
It's really
I've seen
spooky.
It.
I'm sure.
Well, when because Sam Harris, every day I do his meditations, 10 minutes, and some days he's like, oh, we're going to do it with eyes open today. And I'm like, I can't. I'm in an airport at a gate. I can't just stare. Like, it looks so much crazier than meditating.
That woman staring at me.
Yeah, it's really weird. So I don't like the open eye ones, but I will say that I'm meditating more in public now because there's a meditation thread that I subreddit that I go to on Reddit is like talking about that there's a call for people who meditate to meditate more in public so that we get the word out that this is an acceptable thing to do anywhere. So if you meditate in public today to spread the word, because people go, she's weird, but like actually they want in on what you got.
But then
I know
you're not.
Do.
Oh, no.
What?
But then you're not connecting with people around you if everyone's just meditating or
it's
on their
10
phone.
Minutes.
It's 10 minutes, Andrew.
Yeah. Well.
Don't do that.
That was Wednesday's show. Guess who's still horizontal? This bitch right now. Still in my hotel room. It was mere seconds after I recorded the last, before the last clip you heard. I forgot underwear here in Miami. I just forgot to pack a bag of underwear. You know, you just don't go to the underwear drawer. In my case, it's a basket, but I forgot it. So I had to go to CVS and get some this morning. I also forgot toothpaste, which was disgusting going to bed with the taste of food in my mouth. And then it was even more disgusting waking up with it. Oh, God. Luckily, there was some at the front desk, but I went and got my own brand. Which, by the way, if you want white teeth, you don't need to go whiten them. Just use Arm & Hammer whitening toothpaste. It's the best. It's the best on the market. I've been using it for over a decade. Trust me. I've turned so many people onto it through different podcast appearances. Your Mom's House, Never Not Funny. People come up to me all the time and say, oh my God, Armin. In fact, this morning, a guy was like, Arm & Hammer toothpaste, I use it because of you. He had a gleaming white smile. And I was like, dude, I'm going to buy some right after this. So get yourself some. Not endorsed by them, not an ad. I wish I had some of that Arm & Hammer money. I wish I had some of that Army Hammer money. Are people talking about how Army Hammer and Arm & Hammer are the same thing? Like, has that been discussed enough? Because that is my fucking soapbox today. We need to talk more about that. That's insane that is his name. Thursday show. Let's get to it. Michael Rappaport, Anya Marina, who you heard at the top of the show, and Ian Fidance, all in studio. Michael and Ian are not agreeing about no sex until a commitment. We're talking about the book, Getting to I Do, which I talk about all the time on the show, that says you cannot have sex with a man. If you want him to commit to you, don't have sex with him until you have that commitment. Doesn't mean marriage, but it means a commitment. And the guys didn't agree with us. This is Ian Fidance, Michael Rappaport, and Anya Marina in studio on Thursday.
But you don't buy a car. We're not fucking before we get married.
It's bullshit.
No,
that's
married.
Some bullshit.
Not married, babe.
No, before
married,
commitment of like dating. We're
like,
exclusive.
Like, I'm the only one you're seeing.
Nah, we're not doing that.
That's
I'm not rent. I mean, rent a car. You know, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
Now again, I'm a married man, but and my perspective is of a 49-year-old married man. So again, like your brain changes.
So your wife was sleeping with other people while she was sleeping.
No, she
with
never
you.
fucked with anybody else.
That's what we're talking about. Playing, that's what we're while she was having sex with you.
No,
but it's a different time now.
We had my wife. Exactly. My wife. And my I's wife. Situation is unusual because we dated when we were very young.
Oh, that's like sweet.
It's like stand-up comedy for you.
Literally, we dated in my first... Like, she's one of the only people that saw...
she saw him at 19.
The iconic run of 90
really
to 91,
cute.
92.
Aww.
So, and then we went our separate ways, and then I got married, got divorced, had kids, divorce lawyers, divorce court... Hey, I'm not bitter about it. You know, fucking right. Paid out of the ass, you know, whatever. And then we always were cool with each other because mm-hmm. I'm usually a crash and burner. Like, there's no cool. Like, we crash, we burn. I shut the whole
done.
Fucking thing.
No
yeah.
contact.
Oh, I could see that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's no crash or burn. I mean, there's no, like, oh, we're still cool. No.
Yeah, no.
And then, but we got back together, what is it now, 9 years ago.
Wait, you two crashed and burned?
No, no.
No,
we never. She was too good to crash and burn. But
nice.
I'm normally a crash and burner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems like you, when you've needed to. Like, how many, do you crash and burn more than a lot of people, you think? What if someone apologizes to you? You seem like a reasonable person. That if someone was reasonable to you and came to you and apologized, you would own up to what your
yes,
problems were.
That's true. That's
you
true.
You seem like a...
I'm reasonable. Yeah, reasonable. But
who's on your list of people you will never speak to again?
Me. We had a big falling out.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened like yeah.
That's weird. That
I'm doing this reluctantly. It's only because we're on the air.
Is there someone that comes to mind for you for that? Of like... But you don't need to say who it is. But isn't that person not being reasonable?
Or
should you forgive them?
No, hell no.
Okay, exactly.
But I've gotten better at that though, because once you like, I used to like dibble and dabble with people, but when you really shut it down, when you shut it the fuck down. It's good. Like when you like, yo, I'm not speaking to this person. Like this person showed me who I am. I'm not gonna try to like. Well, maybe they'll be that.
I agree.
Once you get, when I got that skill, and I got it probably about 4 or 5 years ago, it's a blessing.
to not keep them in your life.
Shut it the
trying
fuck
to be nice.
Down. Yeah. Nice, whatever it is. And I'm not even into the therapy. Shut it the fuck down.
You're not into the therapy? You don't
of
go to
that, of the idea of what the rationale is. Like, when you're like, yo, I'm just not fucking with this person at all anymore. And I wasn't good at that when I was younger. And I could have afforded I could have benefited from that.
What do you say to people who are getting married too young? Like, what would you say to yourself? Like, going through your divorce and stuff,
what would you say to young Michael?
Yeah, why did you get married again after your divorce? Were you turned off by the idea of marriage? Obviously
yes.
not.
Yes. I was turned off after the first time. But, you know, my wife now, like, just the idea of like, oh, this is my girlfriend, and she was more than a girlfriend. And also just, it just was like, we did a non-ceremony ceremony. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe in the ceremony and the pageantry of marriage.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. I'm not into that shit at all. But I just felt like it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. I'm gonna say the best, but it's the best decision I've ever made to do that.
What drove you to go from boyfriend girlfriendhood to I want more?
It wasn't I want more, because we had, you know, like, I feel like the thing about marriage is like, you think like it's going to be like you're on the other side of this this door, and there is no door. There is no, it's really a business relationship. You know what I mean? Marriage is like a business. It's like a business term, because when you need to get out of a marriage, you'll see that it's a business fucking, it's business.
Yeah, we have a friend going through a divorce right now, and we were listening to her talk about it last night, and it sounds like it's going to be so financially brutal for her.
The whole part of it.
What if she was faking the phone call?
We were in person.
But I think it's all about like your perspective and like how you look at each other and what you look at it as. And but it's a union and in the love of all that stuff. And it's really kind of like it keeps you focused. Like, we're together. And but then you could be just like, some people don't get married and they're together for all that time. So it's just for us, it was like, I knew that
just being able to say my wife sounds so much better than my girlfriend. That's really what it's about.
And when you're like in your 40s, like, yo, this is my girlfriend.
Ridiculous. Yeah. To say my girlfriend. It just sounds
cute. What about my chick?
When I hear my friends say,
that's cute,
I'm going to have to give
when
my house to my husband, I'm like, you know what? It's pretty cute to say girlfriend and boyfriend. I'm not opposed to marriage.
I get it.
We ain't going to get there if you keep going by the book.
But wife just sounds
Babe, I fucked everybody without a commitment before, and it didn't get me anywhere.
Right, I know.
There's no means to an end. I don't think there's means to an end, and I think people's perspective on marriage, divorce, relationship, girlfriend, wifey, husband, my man, my girl, it's never
going to get you where you think you want to be.
There's no getting. There's no getting. You know what I mean? I don't think there's any getting. Like,
There's no getting.
Because you can always get divorced. That's what people think. Like, once I get married, like, he's going to be with me forever. No, he can fucking leave you, bitch.
Or you might leave him, bitch.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
You know, it's.
And I hope you do. You know who I'm talking to, if you're listening.
That is it for the show this week. I hope you had fun listening to the podcast. I had fun doing it for you. As I do every week, it is always fun to talk to you guys on my little phone recorder wherever I'm going. And thank you for listening. Last week, I left you with, I think, something interesting. Where did I do that podcast? Every week, it's a different spot. That's what I love about this podcast, is that every week it's somewhere different. It's always on the go. And I feel like I'm just leaving a voice memo for a good friend. So I hope you get the sense that that is what this is. Because you are not my friend. I've made that clear before. If you don't know me, we're not friends. But I bet we would be friends if we met. I have a feeling. Come see me in Miami this weekend. And then Kansas City in 2 weekends. August 1st and 2nd in Kansas City at the Kansas City Improv. Miami Improv this week. I'm moving next weekend. I'm going to be at the Stand in New York City. If you're in New York City next weekend, come to the Stand, the new Stand. Congratulations, by the way, to the Stand in New York. If you're in New York as a destination, as a vacation, make sure you check out comedy at the Comedy Cellar, and also the new Stand, which is just as great of comics, just as great as shows as anywhere else you'll find. It is truly, they do a great job at comedy. They just opened a new location, and I'm proud to be a Stand comedian. The Stand, New York City. And we will, I'll see you next week on the podcast, guys. Thank you for listening. As always, squirt, squirt, and yak fat.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.